Blog Talk Radio.
This is Creativity in Play. I'm Steve Felber.
And I'm Mary Alice Long.
You can find us online at creativityandplay.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Creativity Play. And download archived editions on iTunes. Our guest today on Creativity in Play is artist Haley Simons. Haley is a concert pianist and educator, as well as a member of the award-winning new music ensemble, Hammerhead Consort. Haley is also president of Creative Alberta, a province-wide nonprofit organization that encourages and supports creativity in the multiple arenas of culture, commerce, and education. Haley Simons, welcome to Creativity in Play.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Mary Alice. Nice to be here.
Well, I know we're going to talk about your music life, but let's talk first about your Creative Alberta work, because I know that's kind of your very active current focus and also the connection of how the three of us met in the last year. So tell us what it is and what you're working on up there in the province of Alberta, Canada.
Well, we're very, very lucky here, because in this notion of creativity and the pursuit of innovation and imagination, we are thrilled to know that we're not the first to do this. And you know how when you buy a new car and all of a sudden you're driving it off the lot and you start to notice all of those people driving the same kind of new car, and you become very, very attuned to that. So perhaps it's just by sheer luck, but there are so many people, of course, out there concerned with this pursuit of creativity and the imperative for it. And we're lucky enough to be modeled after so many other organizations who have gone successfully before us, primarily Creative Oklahoma, which was the impetus for all of us meeting, wasn't it? And the establishing of this wonderful National Creativity Network. And we've
Haley.
Been trying to... Sorry, Mary Alice.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what inspires you then? What I know that I was just listening to some of your beautiful pieces on your website, and the thought came to me, what inspires you? So could you answer that?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And what inspires me on Tuesday might be different from what inspires me on Saturday, and it changes daily, and I'm sure it changes hourly, but we do tend to tap into an overarching inspiration at times. What inspires me now, frankly, is just something very, very selfish, I would say. And the reason I started with this Creative Alberta initiative in the first place, I wanted something bigger than what I had been doing before. And I had spent most of my life, literally since the time I was about 3 years old, devoting it to music and artistic goals. And maybe it's because I reached a certain age, or maybe it was just a series of circumstances in my life, but it got to the point where that one more Beethoven sonata was just not going to make a difference. And I wanted something bigger. And I thought, well, because of the personal circumstances in my life, there was 1 week at a point of time ago where I received a diagnosis from one of my children. The doctors told me that she was autistic. That same week, I received a diagnosis from my mother, and the doctors told us that she was suffering from Alzheimer's-related dementia. So when those two kinds of diagnoses cross your path, all of a sudden Beethoven isn't that important. And I wanted to use whatever skills I had to try and investigate, to try and make a difference, to try and help, of course, because that's natural mother-bear instinct. So that's what inspired me. But it wasn't like a divine stroke of lightning. This was necessity. This was, it had a sense of urgency to it. It had a sense of, boy, I better get onto something now because literally some lives were in the balance here. And what I discovered was we were actually very, very lucky. My daughter, through a series of circumstances, is now thriving and wonderful and does not have the same diagnosis, fortunately. But there were a series of events that I thought could be successfully replicated and help other people. And that's part of the inspiration, which was very different than sitting at a piano and feeling the freedom of some kind of connection to a figure in the past, like a composer in the past, and trying to be their translator or feeling that musical connection, which is very special and magical, but it certainly wasn't very life-saving for me or for my family at that point. So that shifted the inspiration significantly.
Well, what do you imagine as a mother bear and mother creator for Alberta and for the links with creativity and individuals and communities and organizations there?
Well, isn't it funny how that mother bear, and I'm sure this goes to whether you're a mother or not, but once you've mothered something, either literally or figuratively, you can't just stop at that thing. For me, mothering can't stop at my own kids. It's in there now. It's in the genetic makeup, I guess. And it becomes a rationale for everything else. And the thought of any other kids having to experience or go through something as devastating and as a diagnosis like that, not to mention the parents, or at the very least some kids not benefiting from the enormous powers of these creative cycles that were in my daughter's life at the time, I thought that would be criminal because there would be something I could do about that. And that is what led to this whole new creative cycle. So I wanted to share because you have to. There is just that, for me, it was a moral imperative.
So the work that you're doing with Creative Alberta, we should say, as you were alluding to, would be building on what others have done, that a lot of people may not know that several states and provinces and even some cities have initiatives to try to promote creativity across their regions or states or provinces, to link creativity across education and business and arts and nonprofits and government. And some of those groups have come together in the National Creativity Network, which, again, people may not know about, but they are help promote this show and produce this show. So your initiative has sort of hooked into those other examples, and you mentioned Oklahoma is sort of one of the key examples that has probably done more than any other state to promote the value of creativity. So what kind of things are you doing building on what you just shared with us about what got you inspired to start it in the first place, and what are you hoping to accomplish with those kinds of initiatives in your own backyard, so to speak?
Well, it's interesting because I feel like a kid in a candy store with this National Creativity Network, and when you find a bunch of kids who are enjoying the same flavors as you, it's so exciting. And this National Creativity Network, it exists is amazing. For me personally, it's challenging. It's amazing that these people are doing different things according to the needs of their own communities. And of course, we all live in different areas with different makeups and different challenges, and we all have individual ways that we wish to address those. So to see different regions and jurisdictions coming together to first of all question what is the value of creativity in their region, and taking a bottom line look at something that they may have taken advantage of before or taken for granted, and pulling that into the forefront of recognition. And when you give an issue that kind of power, then it can take on a life of its own. And for us, I don't think it's anything unique. I think it's everything in common with what's gone on before, particularly in Oklahoma, because, as you've said, we consider it our big sister organization, and we hope to be able to do what they've been doing. But I've found personally that the magic to this is that it is the only initiative that's found that greatest common denominator. And whether it's in education or in scientific fields or in environmental departments or the healthcare area or even the cultural initiatives and the artists, it's that one thing that we all have in common that can make each of those areas really excellent. And when we start looking at how we can become absolutely the best, not in the world, but the best for the world, and those aren't my terms, but I use that expression liberally, then I think that different kind of lens conversely makes everything we do that much more successful, that much more meaningful, that much more impactful. And I think there's a lot at stake. That's another common thing, common thread that's been going through that I hear that resonates deeply with me, is that there is a sense of urgency, that we don't have the luxury anymore to just keep blindly going down this tunnel where we're in a world that is changing at lightning speed, and we don't know what's going to come around the next corner. We do need some way to navigate that, and in part, that's part of the mother bear thing too. I want to prepare our kids, because we're not prepared. Let's face it, we're not. And if we can be creative and happy and come up with some really interesting solutions, and most of all, be willing to look at the interesting questions, I think this whole network of creative individuals and creative organizations and creative areas is going to likely change the world.
As I listen, Haley, I'm pondering in the ideas that you're presenting and thinking very hard that thinking is not the only part of creativity, play, and imagination. We have, you know, so much of our body is in this, and so it's an embodied experience and a playful experience and a sensational experience. And I noted that you are going to be offering an imagination conversation in Alberta coming up in May, and I wonder what you imagine that will happen there in all of those ways, not just coming from that, the brain that we have, that thinking capacity, but also all the other pieces that we can offer, men, women, different persuasions, and all the different arts and businesses, et cetera, that can contribute to the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it interesting? Because it does the imagination conversation, I think, just by virtue of having the word imagination, implies that it does start with the brain. And I guess we do tend to keep things cerebral, and it's a comfort zone for a lot of people. We are more comfortable, I feel, thinking and pondering. And as we ponder and think about this imagination conversation that we're holding in May, there are a lot of these questions that are coming up. How can we actually make this completely experiential so people aren't sitting in a conference being fed thoughts or just asking to produce thoughts? Because it is, as you said, a very unidimensional yet comfortable aspect of us as humans. So we are still exploring that. We have a short time, but we're hoping that we can explore different ways and different successes that have been achieved through these various imagination conversations that you've had in your country. And we're still very, very wide open, which is nice, scary, but nice, and we look forward to discussing these possibilities with you and with other members of this creative network.
Your early life with the piano, as you said, that started at 3 years old, sounds like it became something that doesn't necessarily feed your creativity, perhaps at least in the same way as it did earlier in times. But is it something that you still come back to in terms of how you play or how you explore, or as a break from the thinking parts we were just talking about that are so related to these topics? Is it a way for you to still explore, or is it something that doesn't really have a positive role and impact to play in the same way that it used to for you personally?
Yeah, that's this is a big one for me, and here's an idea that may find some resistance or may offer a bit of intrigue at least, and I would assert that whilst my entire life has been devoted to honing artistic skills, that the entire concept for me of creativity was lacking. And when you think about a classical musician, what we do is reenact a museum piece. So the process of interpreting or learning or learning the technique and the skill, I would say, is so highly uncreative. It's astonishing. We have this assumption that because somebody is musical or because somebody is artistic, that automatically presumes that they have an aspect of creativity to their work, and I would challenge that. I would really challenge that. For me especially, what I became was the translator. And it was very satisfying, and frankly, I was pretty good at it. So I may not have been the best at it, but I was pretty decent at being able to interpret what I thought Rachmaninoff really meant by that phrase. But when I step back, that doesn't leave much role for my own creativity. I mean, there may be 100 different ways that we can express a Beethoven melody, but really that's Beethoven's creativity. We're just the translators as musicians. And there is craft and there is art involved, but for me, creativity, like I said, was nowhere to be seen. And maybe, again, selfishly, this whole creative initiative, this organization now, is offering kids a chance to not just be the translators and not just be the middleman of somebody else's creativity. And we can interpret that as being the employee of some employer's creative expression. I wish that all kids could feel comfortable with their capacity for creative expression. And that doesn't mean playing an instrument. And isn't it funny how when so often we mention the word creativity, people assume that it has something to do with performance arts, for example.
Yeah.
And I would challenge that assumption. And I work hard at challenging that assumption because I see creativity in so many other areas except that one. So it's a funny shift for many people, because they find that personal resistance, well, I could never learn to play the violin or the harmonica or the bagpipes or whatever else they wish to play. But I look at that as a skill, and certainly it's an art skill, but it's not necessarily creative. So I want to challenge that paradigm, and I also want to figure out some way that each child can feel empowered.
Haley, with that, what you just talked about in mind, can you think of a story where you see creativity in a life in a way that's outside of performance arts?
Oh, yeah. well, sure. When I look at it, I think we start out, it's hard not to see creativity if you've ever been around a child that's younger than five. I mean, that creative capacity, it's like breathing. It would be like asking if we've ever seen a child eat. And you say, well, certainly, of course we've seen them eat. Have we been noticing them eating? Maybe not. Maybe we take that for granted. But this creative instinct, I mean, that's who we are. That's why I believe why we were created, is so we can keep that perpetually going. And every child should be an example, just a living, breathing example of creativity, whether it's drawing a picture, whether it's molding something, whether it's putting two ingredients together in a bowl and cooking or eating or a science experiment or building, as I'm looking out my window at this snowy, freezing landscape. I don't see too many snowmen out there. I don't know what the weather is like for you, but we have these opportunities for creativity daily. I mean, we can be creative in traffic. We can take a route that no one else has taken before. Certainly that would be considered creative. And I think that every opportunity is there. We can see it in so many places, and I dare say that we just need to start looking for it. It is like looking for that new car. Once our shift is there, once the paradigm is there, we see it everywhere.
Yes, you're reminding me of my experience yesterday with my grand twins, where we pulled out the wet paint and some paper, and they're about 2.5, and so they were just going for it and having a great time. And when I said, I think we're going to have to put everything away, they literally screamed at Nana to stop. They didn't want to stop. And they were just having such great, great time creating in their own 2.5-year-old ways. So thank you.
It is amazing. And then when we start to value that, and when these kids are figuratively allowed to keep creating rather than having to turn their attention to something that is completely non-creative or pedantic, especially pedagogically in school, then we've flipped the switch. And as adults, that's a pretty big responsibility we have. And if we're going to be flipping that switch, we better be able to flip it back the other way, or that switch eventually gets turned off. And it's all based on what we value. And kids are very, very perceptive. If we are valuing their creative output, they do more, and they think it's okay. And if we're valuing something purely because of an innovative factor that's dependent on the economy or whether somebody's going to be paying for it or what the economic benefit is, I fear that we as a society become maybe not altruistically motivated then.
I know that you've looked at lots of resources as you've begun to build Creative Alberta and by extension the work that you're doing to promote creativity and education and communities and organizations, and I know you've thought about it a lot, as you said a moment ago. So of all that stuff that you've looked at and have thought about and the people you've met, what are some resources that you recommend to people that are either interested on a personal level to develop creativity or are interested in the kinds of things you're doing at a broader sense in a community to promote creativity, again, across sectors and throughout cities or states or provinces?
I think What I would recommend anybody doing, first of all, is figuring out what they themselves mean by creativity. And to do that, I think you have to explore what other people think of as creativity, because the one thing I've learned is that my definition of creativity could vary extremely from someone else's or some other organization's. So figure out first what you mean by creativity, figure out what other people mean by creativity, and see what resonates with you, because we will have different parameters and different methods of assessment, and then find people who have done something like that before, or find out what you want to do and find out whether anybody has done something like that before. And creativity, I think, for me at least, I have that attached presumption that it involves a verb. So creativity for me involves doing something. We could certainly think creatively, but again, Marialis, that's what you referred to as being in your head. So if we change creativity into a verb and figure out what we can do creatively, I think that might lead us down some path. Other than that, the beauty of it is exploring. So I certainly can't be a tour guide in that regard. I think the adventure is the be all end all of creativity.
In the remaining minute or so, any specific books or websites or people that you point people toward?
Absolutely.
On that journey?
Absolutely. First and foremost, check out the National Creativity Network. That's just such a rich, even though new, organization. Lincoln Center, of course, is the cornerstone and has been for creativity for many, many, many decades. And the Creativity in Play, there are so many, and one leads to the other, and that in itself is weeks and months and years of research and discussions. But most of all, just talk. Just the relationship of talking and that initial conversation leads to more, and that's what I would recommend.
And to know that there are international districts of creativity as well, which you in Creative Alberta are striving to become a part of it, and as the second North American recognized group, entity, nonprofit. So just want to mention that too, that all over the world,
right,
people are creating.
It is. It's a global. Mm-hmm.
So coming out of the Flanders Districts of Creativity in Europe, which, again, we should have mentioned earlier, just hosted another Creativity World Forum, which, again, was something that this country has begun to pick up on as well through the work in Oklahoma and, by extension, the other initiatives going on around the country and in Canada on this side of the Atlantic. So, well, Haley, thank you so much for talking to us, as you suggest we do, to tap our creativity and imagination, and we very much thank you for joining us on Creativity in Play.
It is absolutely my pleasure and delight to speak with you both, and congratulations on everything you're doing here.
Thank you. And Haley Simons is a musician, educator, and president of Creative Alberta. Our theme music is Kindergarten, composed and performed by Jonathan Batiste. You can listen to this show and previous shows again and find more information about our guests and coming shows at creativityandplay.com. And find Creativity and Play on Twitter, Facebook, and iTunes as well. Creativity and Play is a production of the International Center for Creativity and Imagination in partnership with the National Creativity Network. I'm Steve Dahlberg.
And I'm Mary Alice Long. Thank you, Haley, so much for joining us.
Thank you.